Hope that spoke to your heart as it did mine this morning. I'm thankful that God has allowed me to have my mama all these years. And we take that for granted so many times. And this morning, if your mother is still alive, I want to encourage you to take opportunity, not just on a day like today. You ought to love your mom, and I love your daddy, I love your wife and your husband and your children, not just on certain days. I'm glad God loves me every day, and I hope that you make much of that time. I was thinking how sad it is, and there might be somebody here this way this morning. I hope not. I had to deal with a situation in our first church. The mama was dying. She ended up dying, and they had a daughter that was, they'd had some words. And there was such bitterness and such hatred between that daughter and that mother that even when her mama died, the daughter wouldn't even come to the funeral. And I thought, you know, that's sad. That really is. But it's capable of any of us to get to that place if we're not careful. And so I appreciate you mamas again. And I do hope you have a great day today. I hope your husbands and your children will spoil you real good today. And make much of that, too. Get it while you can. No. All right, take your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings this morning. And, you know, the Bible speaks much of mothers all through the Word of God. We live, and again, I can't see your heart nor your mind this morning. We have grown up through a time in my life that women have taken on this mindset that they want to be equal to men, and I don't know why. According to the Word of God, ladies, you've got one of the greatest jobs in the world, and you have such a responsibility, and why you'd want to have what us fellas you think we have, that you're missing out. If you'll just do what God would have you to do and be what God would have you to be, you'd be amazed at how God would bless that, and we sure want to encourage you to do that. But again, we are living in weird days, and it's not just today, it's always been this way, I believe, through time. You know, there's good mamas and then there's mothers. As I say, at Father's Day, there's daddies and then there's fathers. It takes nothing to be a father. It takes a lot to be a daddy. Same thing with being a mama. And I'm glad that we have some godly mamas here today. And I'm glad that God has blessed us in our life to be around some godly mamas that have helped us throughout our lives, and not just my own physical mother, but I've had some ladies that have taken me under their wing, and my grandmothers, and just lovely ladies that love God, love their children, love their family, and did what they needed to do for their homes. And we have, you know, today, I mentioned this morning in our opening, the tragic news. It happens all the time. Again, I grew up around foster children. My grandmother was a foster parent. She was the very first foster parent in Iredell County, and we had a lot of children around our farm over the years, and they actually ended up adopting one of the children also. And I've seen some very sad stories. I remember a young baby now. It seems like it always comes to my mind when I speak of this. I was just 10, 12 years old, but they brought a little baby. I could say his name, but I wouldn't. I even know where he lives. God just brought him out of a hell hole and gave him a good godly family. But they brought that little baby in there. And the daddy had taken a cigarette and burnt that baby all over its body. And you think, how could that be? Well, it comes from a lack of God. Man or woman will do anything in the flesh. Even us this morning that are saved, if we allow ourselves to go back to the flesh, can't lose your salvation. I'm thankful for that, but you sure can lose your walk with God. And you don't know what your flesh will do. You don't know what you're capable of. Even in my life, I've watched and prayed over our children and our grandchildren. Even now, I see things on the news and I think, how in the world? How can a teenage youngin have so much hatred in their mind, in their body, that they decide to take a gun into a schoolhouse and kill people? I have no idea. Right. I can't imagine what must be in that mind, in that soul, to do that. And I've always wondered what keeps my children from being that child. It's only by the grace of God. I'm not special, neither are my children or my grandchildren, but it's just the grace of God. And we've tried everything that we could. We're not perfect parents by no means, nor grandparents. But I know the key to raising a child is to get them around the things of God. I can't save my children, can't save my grandchildren, but one thing I can do is I can keep them around the things of God. That is the things that makes the difference. Even this week, as my wife's sister lives up in Hendersonville, I saw the news of that lady that reported her child abducted, and I thought, boy, that would be a terrible feeling. And I thought, you know, it'd be terrible to have a child taken from you. Then just to find out that woman didn't have that child taken away from her. She took that child and tried to kill that child and throw it over an embankment. Again, that's what's in the heart of mankind. Again, you don't know what you're capable of, but I'm thankful. And this isn't the message this morning, but I did mention this verse this morning. It's found over in Isaiah chapter 49. It says, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? That's the question. Can a woman breastfeeding a child, taking care of that child, can she forget the love of that child? Now, that's hard to imagine that that was capable. But even God asked that question, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? The answer is yea. They may forget, but then the Lord says this, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. God says that even though, and probably one of the strongest bonds that you'll ever see is between a mother and a child. I have been, I was raised on a farm, so I use a lot of things that I grew up around. My grandpa was somewhat mental, I believe, at times. But if a cow had a calf, he didn't wait on that much. He wanted to find out if that calf was a bull or a heifer. Why? Because a bull brought more money. He wanted to know what that calf was. But I've seen my grandpa get out there trying to get around a calf, and that mama lets him know he ain't got no business there. You get between a loving mama and a youngin', you're in trouble. We were out west, Brother David. We went elk hunting. I shot a moose. Asked Brother David about that. But we was coming up off the mountain back down into where our camp was, and man, she was making a terrible noise. It was a mama moose, cow moose. It had a little youngin'. I mean, she was letting us know we was in her territory. Brother Roger says, keep walking, don't even look at them. I pastored a gentleman out of our first church that was stationed in Alaska. He was in the Army. He said, when you go to Alaska and you're up there, some of the training they give you when you come into camp is watch out for moose. They have many people killed in Alaska because they get in front of a mama moose and a baby moose, and mama moose kills them to get them away from their child. That's the kind of bond that a mama should have for a baby. And God says as much as that bond and as strong as that bond is, it's possible. And again, I've just testified many times over that a woman can treat a child in the opposite way. But thank God this morning, God said, I'll never forget you. I've got you graven in the palms of his hands. Wonder what that is. That's where those nails pierced his wound, his flesh, nailed on that cross. He says, I'll never forget you. So, again, I thank the Lord for you mamas this morning. All right, 2 Kings this morning, if you found your place and you can, let's stand together out of honor and reverence to the Word of God as we read just a few verses this morning. I know time has slipped away. We will not be long. I know on a day like this, we're... people's got a lot of things going on, but I don't want to count God out by no means. Actually, in chapter 4, there's two great stories here of two great women. We're going to look at one of them this morning. The Bible says in chapter 4, verse number 1 of 2 Kings, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door, and upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. God, thank you this morning, God, once again, for meeting needs. God, I pray today, God, Lord, that you stir our souls. God, I pray today the Holy Ghost would just move in our midst. God, I sure would love to see revival today. God, I pray, God, that you just touch and bless. Thank you for these mamas here today. God, I pray, Lord, you'll give them a wonderful day, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. For it's in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And again, I know I don't have a lot of time, but I want to try to get to you something. This is a double barrel shotgun message this morning. I believe with all my heart there's two things in these verses that I want us to look at this morning that God just impressed upon our heart. I know today's Mama Day. And I thank God for you mamas. And I, as I said before, all throughout the Word of God, you'll find God using special women. And right here, we find a woman that God used in a mighty way. And let me say that, if God will use this woman, God will use you, lady. And friends, this morning, whoever you are, if you'll let God use you, God will use you. But this morning, I see here a great mama. And also in this verse, in this double-barreled message this morning, not only do I see a great mama, but I see a great revival. And I thank God that God has sent revival in days gone of old, and I believe God can still send revival today. We're going to preach, Lord willing, tonight on a great revival that God put upon my heart to look at this week. And I want to show you some things tonight about that great revival. It didn't happen too long ago. It happened back in 1940s on the outside of Scotland in that area. And again, I know the group of people maybe that we would look at and say, oh, that's a different creed. But I can see how God stirred some souls in that meeting. And I believe God can still stir some souls today. So I want to look this morning real quickly here at 2 Kings chapter 4 in these first 7 verses about a great mama. And also a great revival. And again, church, I don't know if we're going to have revival, but I believe God can send revival. I don't know if we really want revival, but I do know we need revival. And I just want to show you some things this morning here, how God used a mama, but also sent a revival. And I hope and pray this morning that God would stir our souls, that God would help you mamas to get on your knees before God tonight. I got too much on my brain about tonight, but that revival that cranked up out of that God used, and I don't like to say it this way, but it's the truth, God used 2 older ladies to spark that revival. 2 ladies, both of them in their 80s, one of them blind. Saul, how can you see if you're blind? You can still see spiritually. They saw the condition of their island. They saw the condition of the people, and they began to pray a verse to God, and not only prayed it, but believed it, and spent days, 2 days a week, they would sacrifice themselves to pray that God would turn their people around. And you know what God did? God sent a revival. One of the groups that they prayed about was our young people. The young people had got so far away from God, they wouldn't even come to church. They saw a need and began to pray. One of the nights that revival broke out in that island, those 2 women were praying and a meeting was going on. Said there was hundreds of the children, teenagers down at the dance hall having a big party. After the man of God got up there and preached to just a decent crowd of people, they were milling around inside the church, and some men come running in and saying, Preacher, come see. He goes out of that church building out, and all over the property was hundreds of teenagers that had left the dance hall under conviction because God had burdened them about their souls. That's revival. And we sure need it in our day. So here we see a great revival. Real quickly, a great mama, a great revival. First of all, this morning, I find here this morning what makes this mama so great. I see her desperation. You know, this morning, I've seen my wife do it. I've heard of other women doing it. But I've seen mamas so many times give of themselves. That shows me a great love. Many times a mama will do without so their children can have food or clothing or something of that nature. A mama, a true mama, cares not just for themselves, but they care more for the situation and for their home and their family than they do their own self. And here we find a mama that finds herself in a great desperation. Her husband had died. Some of you ladies know how that is. That's not easy, I'm sure. I know in my mind I would think that, you know, if my wife died, I don't know how I'd make it. But I can't cook, but I could probably make some soup and some macaroni and cheese. I'd survive. I wouldn't keep our house clean, I know that. Not like she does. But you know, and I'm not throwing off on my wife, but it's tough on ladies when their husbands die. A lot of times that husband is carrying, first of all, financial loads. They're taking care of the home physically and all the mechanicals and all the upkeeps that a home requires. A lot of times the husband is taking care of all the bills and all those things that have to be taken care of. And many times when a husband dies and a woman is left, many times they don't even know all that needs to be done. Because I don't know all that my wife does. She just takes good care of me. But this woman here in 2 Kings chapter 4, what makes her a great mama, what makes this a great picture of revival is, first of all, this mama was in a place of desperation. She got to the place where she saw a great need. I don't know how long her husband had been dead. I don't know how long this had taken place. But it comes down that we find that God shows forth Himself in this woman at a time in her life of greatest despair. It wasn't when her husband died that God introduces us to this great lady. It wasn't as she went through her daily task that we find this great lady. God shows forth this great mama when she's at her lowest low. What do you mean, preacher? We read in the story here this morning of this account, this woman, she's living her life the best she can. She's trying to raise two boys. She's trying to do the best she can for her home and her family. Her husband has died. Apparently they owed some money. And it's finally come to the place that she can't pay her bills. The creditors have come and said, if you don't pay by such and such a date, they don't take her car. They're going to take her two boys. That's what that creditor had at his disposal. If they couldn't pay their bills, he could take those youngins and make them slaves. Now you mamas, you think about that just for a moment. My husband's died. I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm trying to get everything and all our affairs in order. And all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. And it's that guy named Bill. He comes every month. Sorry, Bill. But old Bill, he shows up. He's faithful. And there's that guy standing at the door. You know you owe me some money. If you don't pay me by Friday, I'm coming to collect. What you gonna take? I gotta have a house. I don't want your house. What are you gonna take? I'm gonna take what's most precious to you. I'm gonna take your two boys. And he had every right to do that. And we find this mama, this great mama here at a place that shows forth how great a mama she is because she has come to the place of the greatest despair in her life. She can see an evil person coming and taking her boys that she loved, that she gave birth to, and drag them out into slavery. Probably never to see them again. Now you think about the heart of that mama. Her heart broken. She's in great need. So what does she do? She goes to the man of God. Now let's think back for just for a moment. I know I got to run, but what about revival? Preacher, you said this is a great revival. I truly believe, church, the reason we don't see revival in our day, we don't see ourselves in great need. We don't see ourselves in great despair. We don't see that the devil's eating the homes of America up. We don't see that the devil is taking the creditor and he's coming into our homes and stealing our children. We don't see it in our church. See, church, we'll never see God open up the windows of heaven and give us a true revival until we get to the place, as I believe this woman was. Oh, God. You got money in your pocket. You got a house to live in. You got a job to go to. You got entertainments. Most people's carrying $1,000 phone in their pocket. Crazy America. Where's God? I've seen people freak out over they can't find their phone over, well, I lost my Bible. See, we're not to the place this woman is. This woman knows that on Friday, there's somebody coming and I ain't got nothing to pay. And if I don't find something, I'm going to lose it all. When we get to a place like that in the church and in our individual lives, I believe that's when we'll see God. So what makes a great mama here? I see a mama in a great desperate need. I see also a great revival in the fact that we must have that same desperation. I see her devotion. I already mentioned it. Did you see how she testified of who she was? Look again, now verse 1, there was a certain woman, the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. Her husband was a worker in the church. Her husband was a minister of the Word of God. She grew up, she supported, she loved her husband, and her husband served God and were testifying to the fact that they loved God and they feared God. So I see her desperation, but I also see her devotion not only to God, but also to her family. She could have said, just take my boys, I don't need them. But no, that's not what real mamas do. A great mama shows forth her devotion. For a great revival, we've got to get back to loving God. We've trusted man way too long. We need God. So then we find her dedication. What did she do? Today, and again, I'm not here fussing at no one. If you're here and you've done this, I'm not looking at anybody. We get phone calls on a weekly basis here at the church. I got one. I don't give my cell phone out to a lot of people that I don't know. But I got a phone call this week from a Salisbury number. I figured it was a credit or a sales call thing, and I thought, well, I'll answer it because it's a Salisbury number. And it was a lady saying that she needed help. I was thinking, how in the world did you get my phone number? And I got to call these folks. The Salvation Army gave her my cell phone number. It's like, okay then. Now, we do help people. We have things put in place to sort of help people in different ways. But where do you go when you need help? It's a good question. How come it seems like God's always the last guy? That should be our first place. This woman's attacked. This woman is overwhelmed. This woman's like, what am I going to do? Let's call a lawyer. A lawyer can't help her. She owes money. That gentleman that she owes money to, by the law, he has every right to get ready to come take these boys. Who's she going to call? I'll call the bank. Well, she ain't got no money, ain't got no credit. They ain't going to give her no money. Who's she going to call? She didn't call the bank. She didn't call the lawyer. She didn't call a friend. She went to the man of God. Well, preacher, you just said you didn't want them coming to me. I want them to come if we'll talk about the Lord. Most people don't want to hear that. They want me to wave a magic wand and say, ta-da, your debt's gone free. I don't have that wand. But I can point them to somebody that can help them. His name's Jesus. Most people don't want to go there, but that's where I try to point them to. But I see her devotion in that the fact that she served the Lord, but I also see in her dedication that she took it to the man of God. And then I find, next of all, her evaluation. Did you see what the man of God asked her? Verse 2, Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in the house. She had to evaluate. She goes to the man of God. The man of God says, what can I do for you? Well, that's a great question, isn't it? Well, I'd like to win the lottery. Really? What do you think was on her heart? She didn't go there for herself. This morning, mamas, again, what makes this a great mama is what the man of God says, what can I do for you? I want you to help me with my boys. That's the great mindset of a mama. But church, this morning, we're also throwing a great revival. What do we want this morning? I believe God is speaking just as He spoke to the man of God here. What do you want? Remember when the nation of Israel said, we want a king. God said, I want to be your king. No, we want a king like everybody else's God. What do you want? We want a king. Okay. You want a king? I'll let you have one. Biggest mistake they ever made. But this morning, I ask you from God, what do you want? Until you get to a desperation as this woman does, you'll say a lottery ticket, a new car, new house, more money. But this woman here was at the bottom of her bucket. She said, I got to do something. I want my boys. I done lost my husband. I can't lose my... How much more are we going to lose here in America spiritually? Our government's gone plumb stupid. Your governor had an opportunity to pass a bill, chose not to. What do you mean? We're killing babies by the bazillions. What do you want? Apparently we want for fame and fortune. We're not going to see revival until we get to the place where we realize what we need. It's not what I want. But if I really understand what I need, that's what I want. So I see she had some evaluating to do. Second of all, notice her questioning there in verse 2. He says, what shall I do for thee? And then he asks this, tell me what thou hast in the house. What do you got this morning? I got great education. Really? What's that going to get you? What do you got in your house? What is in your house? Is God in your house? She looked at her situation. I don't have time to keep her going, but she says, I got a little pot of oil. That's all she had. You know, I got to thinking about that. That little pot of oil, that probably was special oil. That wasn't her cooking oil. I believe her husband being that prophet that he was, I believe that's probably the oil that he used to minister and anoint people with. That wasn't just any oil pot. But the man of God says, what do you want and what have you got? She said, all I've got is a little old pot of oil. See, this morning when we draw our minds, again, mamas, y'all are special because y'all can take so little of something and make big things. I've seen my grandma, I've seen my wife take something and stretch it just as far as you can stretch it, man. That's what mamas do. But what about revival? What have we got this morning? See, this morning, this woman, she looked at what she had. She says, all I've got's a little bit of oil. What's that? Just like that little boy. What you got, son? Oh, got some fish and a couple pieces of bread. Lord said, hey, fellas, how are we going to feed this 5,000 crowd? Lord, found this boy over here. Oh, he's got some fish and some bread. What'd they say? What's that among so many? And the Lord took the faith of that lad and took his bread and fishes and multiplied it to feed 5,000 plus the women and children plus had leftovers. This woman said, all I got's a little bit of oil. This morning you need to realize God put something in us. Hey, this morning I'm talking about revival. Revival's not for the lost. Revival's for the saved. It's a reviving process and getting us to wake up. Put some breath back in our bones. Hey, friend, God's inside of me. There's something bigger than me. What you got? Oh, I just got a little bit of oil. Why don't you realize how big that oil is? So I see her evaluating. And then second or fifth of all this morning, I see her faith. Now how many of you would have done what she did? The man of God says, okay, you got a need. This is what you need to do. I want you and your sons to go all to your neighbor's houses, knock on their door and say, hey, we're from Gospel Light Baptist Church. We're having revival. Would you like to come? Oh no, that's not what he said, but. Go to all your neighbors and borrow the Tupperware. Hey, Tony, can you imagine somebody coming to your door? You got any Tupperware? Can I borrow your Tupperware?
No.
God told the man of God to tell the woman here that had the need to go get all her neighbors' pots, the empty ones. That's great faith. How many of you would have done that? Oh, I can never do that, preacher. No, I couldn't do that. It's the reason we don't have revival. We're not willing to do what God wants us to do. I see great faith. Then I see great obedience. The Bible says there that the man of God says, go get all the pots that you can get. You, your sons, and the pots, get in the house, shut the door behind you, and start filling the pots. What? All I got's one little pot of oil. And you want me to do what? I want you to go get all the pots that your neighbors will let you have, bring them inside your house, shut the door, get you and your two boys in there, and start pouring some oil. You crazy, man. But see, great mamas, Brother Rick, how many times in them jailhouses, some of them boys, some of them women y'all deal with in prison, still got mamas that love them, would do anything they could to get them out of jail and live, teach them and train them. That's what mamas do. So, this mama, a great mama, is told by the man of God to go get all the pots, put them in the house, get your boys, shut the door, start pouring oil. That's great obedience. And we'll not see revival until we get obedient. And then last of all this morning, here comes the renewal. What happened? And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her, son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Now, can you imagine? Let's put ourselves. I'm trying to quit. Let's put ourselves in her house. I don't know. She probably didn't live in much. Her husband was a preacher. She didn't live in a mansion. I can tell you that. But she had a house. She goes to all of her neighbors and she starts filling in pots. Everywhere she can stick a pot, she put a pot. Here's a pot. There's a pot. That's all right, boys. Come on. Shut the door. You know, that's a good place there to stop just a minute. We'll not see revival until we get into a place and shut the door. Spend some time with you and your family praying and seeking God. That also makes good mamas too. Yeah, she shut the door behind her, kept the world out. She's in there with a bunch of empty pots, two boys, and a little old pot of oil. Can you imagine? Pots sitting everywhere. Hey, Billy, go get me our oil. He comes back with a little pot of oil. That pot's bigger than my pot. Try that again. Now, at first, I'm sure in her mind, this ain't going to work. It ain't going to take long to pour my oil done, and I'm out. It's amazing how God throws things together. I remember another great man of God by the name of Elijah. He also went to another great woman and sold her sort of the same thing. God said, make me a bread. She said, all I got is a little bit of meal, a little bit of oil. We're going to bake a cake, me and my son. We're going to eat and die. Right. Not like a little same sort of situation. Right. He says, you make me a cake first. She knew how much meal was in that bucket. She knew that was just enough for her and her son, and they were going to die. She said, okay, I'm going to be obedient. She gets her Tupperware bowl out that night, gets her sifter out, sifts some flour, makes bread. Well, that's it. Preacher says, hey, I'm hungry. How about making me some more bread? I ain't got no more meal. I told you, I've got enough for that. We're going to die. Go see. She reaches over and gets her Tupperware container off, pops it open, runs her hands down there. What's that? Well, maybe I didn't get it all. She makes another cake. Well, that's it. We're going to eat that and die. It's over. Next day comes. Hey, I'm ready for some bread. I done told you we're out. Go look. She goes back to the kitchen, gets her Tupperware bowl out, pops the lid, puts her hand down there. Again, I've never been able to tell anybody what I see. But I can picture in my mind a mama that's reaching into a bucket. She ain't filling a whole barrel bucket. Every time she reaches in there, she's rubbing the bottom. That's what's wrong with America. We've never rubbed the bottom much. But can you see this woman? Man of God says, go get some pots. Fill them. I'm sure after she felt the first two or three, she said, "Woo! This thing's getting good." Boys are over thinking, I knew Mama was good, but I didn't know she was that good. Probably for an hour or so, Mama's in there. She went through the kitchen. They got them stuck in the bathroom. They're in the bedrooms. They got them in the attic. They're in the basement. Everywhere they put a pot. I mean, I bet she's getting a little tickled after all this. Finally gets to the back of the house. Hey, boys, where's the rest of the pots? That's all, Mama. And the Bible says the oil stayed. It never run out. And then she took to the man of God and said, hey, you ain't gonna believe this, but my little pot of oil, look at her now. Man of God says, take that, sell that, pay off your debt, and live. She lived the rest of her days off all that oil that come out of one little pot that God used and multiplied and filled up and saved her children, saved her home, gave her life. I believe it was a great mama, but I believe there was a great revival. Hey, I bet everybody in town knew what happened to that woman. You ain't gonna believe what God did for me. You want revival? You've got to be willing to get to the place where you realize you've got to have God. And then you're going to have to be faithful and obedient to what God says to do. And do it. And then watch God do amazing things. You come back tonight, sure hope you will. I'm going to read some things about this great revival that took place over there off the Isles of Scotland there. Most of us say, that could never happen. Now, I don't believe all the things maybe that people say nowadays. But I believe God did something for them people. I believe God do something for us. A great mama. But wow, what a revival. She started out, boys are getting ready to be sold into slavery. She ended up with all the oil she'll ever need to live her life till she was done. That's what I want from God. What do you want? The man of God asked that woman, what can I do for you? And what do you have? This morning, God's asking you, what do you want? What do you got? I got you, God. That's all you need. Let's stand together this morning.